Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him. I love his people. I love all of his people. And anybody that's done me wrong, I forgive them. That's the way of God. I can't wait to forgive people when it comes, because forgiveness is very important. All of the ways of God are important. Every child of God is important. Everybody, you know, this is their chance to live forever. Every day that they wake up and enjoy, they have a chance to live forever. And there are people who have gone past and they were not in covenant with God. They went to hell. In 1986, I went to hell, and when I saw people falling in there like rain, like raindrops, I only focused on two people. But in my peripheral vision, I saw people falling in like raindrops from all over the earth. And I didn't like that. And hell is real. I know it's not popular. Preachers are paid not to talk about it. But I'm not one of those preachers. I'm not deceived by nobody. I believe the word of God, all of it, just as it's written. And see, the Lord can't allow sin into heaven. That's not going to happen. The Lord Jesus even told me this. When the rapture comes, he said not one mistake will be made. Everybody that he takes with him, he should have took with him. And everybody he left, he should have left. He said his people on earth will be looking for their people here, and people in heaven will be looking for their people there. And sometimes they'll find each other. Now, it's important. When the Lord talked that way, it alerts me to something even greater. There's no room, he told me this way back in the mid-90s. He said, there's no room for sin in my kingdom. And where we're headed, there won't be any more sin. And there shouldn't be sin in our lives. Now, I'm not one of those that want people to be sin conscious. I just want your people to repent from it and know how dangerous it is. When you have the love of God in you, you don't have a desire to sin in the first place. And I'm not trying to accuse people to walk around desiring to sin. But the problem is many people are in it. Many times people have unforgiveness. Some sins, there's no pleasure in it. People have allowed it to dominate them somewhere. It's just like people being addicted to drugs. They want out, but they can't. They're not strong enough in their heart and mind to get out of it. And their focus is on the addiction. But see, when you change your focus, everything else changes with it. When you focus on Jesus, you're in a position to receive everlasting strength, everlasting wisdom, everlasting knowledge, covenant life. Everything you need is in Jesus. So I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, what do your people really want? This is why I asked that question. When I go in prayer and I spend time with the Lord, it's better than anything else I know of. When the Lord starts giving me a lesson or teaching, sometimes he'll do that sovereignly. Now, when he does that for me, he's preparing me for ministry. He's preparing me to do something that he's preparing me for a sanction. He's setting me apart to do something or teach something or write a book or something like that. That's what happened when he gave me the cycle of life and other teachings. And he set me aside and taught me things. And then I did whatever. I would write the writing or minister, whatever he gave me. And in the early days, he would come to me with something. And the prophets of old would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now, when that happens for them, they wasn't looking for it. They may not have even been praying. They may have been out picking grain or something. Or they could have been in the prayer room praying or talking to their friends, and then the word of the Lord came. And most likely when their spirit man was quiet. But you can't, sometimes I'm working on cars at work, and the word of the Lord come to me teaching. I love it when that happens, because I'm communing with Jesus. I'm communing with the Holy Spirit. And at those times, I really desire to work alone. And at work, I used to be disturbed a lot. But sometimes, I would have to go out on the field and work. Go to the landfill or the church pit and work on heavy equipment or whatever. And it'll just be me and the Lord talking. And sometimes I'll be in the shop. Everybody else will be quiet working wherever they are. And the Lord, I'm working, and the Lord's telling me things, preparing me. I love it when that happens. So when you're seeking Jesus, when you give Him your attention, then you have access to His might. Just like Isaiah 11. The seven spirits of God. See, the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, you know. He's the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of counsel, understanding, might, and under fear of the Lord. Whatever you need, He's got it. And He made us complete in Him. So, sometimes people focus on other things, a good marriage, how to raise my children, or they want other things, cars, homes, better neighborhoods, whatever. Whatever they're asking the Lord for, that's where their attention is at the moment. And so, all those good things I named, they're good, but when you focus on the Lord, everything that pertains to you is enhanced. All of your relationships, because you're going to bring Jesus with you. See, He'll fill you with His heart, with His knowledge, His wisdom. And when you commune and talk to your friends, you have a well-reserved bank of the knowledge of God ready to share with your friends in love, with the intent to edify. See, sometimes people, I want to warn people, because I don't like to accuse people. I'm not trying to accuse people of something. But this is something I noticed. Loving preeminence is very dangerous. It would change your focus just like that. If it offends you when other people do greater things at younger ages, that's a problem. And it's a rampant problem in the church. And the enemy has used it as a weapon for a very long time. If you get upset when you see others do things you can't do, that's not good. This was a problem that Diotrephes had. He didn't want John around because he loved preeminence. And I noticed that for a long time. Even many good men of God have struggled with that. But nobody talks about it because it's embarrassing. When people do dark things, they try to hide it. But you can't hide your countenance. Your countenance is going to reveal things. The reason I'm saying that is because if you can stay focused on the Lord, whatever is an offense, whatever is a problem, you can quickly learn to master it. I've seen people trying to get off drugs, and some people fail. Most people don't make it until they focus on the Lord. I was watching a mission. I don't know if it was Pacific Garden Mission, but it was a mission nevertheless in a large city. And people would come, and the preacher was talking about this. He said many people come here and get to know the Lord, and they go on and live productive life, start businesses, go back to their families, and they excel. Some people meet there, get married, and do the same thing. They lived on the street for years, but they get a hold of Jesus and they go forward. While many others, they never leave the streets. They come and hear the same word. He talked about this. He said they hear the same thing that everybody else heard, and there's no change in their life. You know, Jesus said, take heed how you hear, which the way you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. Some people die on drugs after hearing the gospel, other people right beside them have gone on to know the Lord. While others, they just stay in their doom and they die on the streets. And they come to the mission because that's where they can get clothes and free clothes and food and bathe and things like that. It's important. It's very important to know the Lord. He has something to say. Now, I've done a lot of fun things in my life. I ride motorcycles. I love to play baseball, but I don't play baseball because I don't know of any teams and I don't have time. So I hadn't played baseball in years. I love to go to games, but I haven't gone to games in years. But I've done those things. I love to shoot my pellet gun. I love to go and fish. I love to, you know, I said I ride motorcycles, and I really love to swim. But I promise you, when the Lord talks to me, that's more fun than everything I do. When I'm in his presence talking to my King, my Savior, he is my King because he can tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's one of my confessions. One of my, you know, if you listen to these broadcasts, you know what I'm going to say. I will do all that's in his heart. I leave the reins in Jesus' hands. And I continue to say that because as a man, and just as people, it's easy for us to take the reins back and try to control our lives the way we want it to be. But see, I learned something. When you release those same reins to Jesus and he's running everything, now that don't mean your brain's on the off switch. Your brain still works. You still got your faculties. But see, when I acknowledge him in my endeavors, he helps me see a greater way to do what I'm already doing. And I can take advantage of time that's already running by. See, while you're making bad decisions, you could be making good ones. While you're doing things in a good way, you could be doing them in a greater way. So when the Lord directs my paths, I'm all for it now. There's no dog bath war. Used to, when the Lord tell me something, it'd be like, you ever bathe your dog? The dog don't want that bath. It's a wrestling match, a dog bath war. You know, all that, you know, when he used to tell, I had a vow on my life. I said I would obey him. You know, I talk about that a lot. But a few years later, he started telling me to do things that I normally would not do. But I had to do it because of the vow. Then I learned that if you go ahead and do it, it's better than what you could have done. And it's anointed. Ministry-wise, see, what you can do ministry-wise is good. Effective, people can come to life. But when you're anointed and do something in ministry, it's perfect. The anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. In other words, you can do something like God can while you're operating under the anointing, even if you don't have the faith to pull it off yourself. See, I thought about something. Sometimes at random, sovereignly, God will wake me up and have me to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I pray in the Holy Spirit until I start laughing. I get that note of joy and I say, it's whatever it is, it's done now. I love when that happens. I welcome it. And sometimes he wake me up and tell me what to pray for. And I'm not going to tell you what it was because it's big. It's huge. It's not something I would probably know that I could pull off by myself. But when he tell me to do it, I'm anointed. There's an anointing with it. If you give me a shovel and say, dig a swimming pool, okay, eventually I could probably do it. But it'll take at least a year or several months. And when I finish, I have big muscles. But if you give me a bobcat or a backhoe and tell me to build it, in a few hours, you're going to have you a swimming pool. Or, you know, if you, you know, I'm not the most skilled operator, but I could do it. I used to fix heavy equipment. But there are people that can run it better than me. Nevertheless, you see the difference between me and my muscles on a shovel and then a backhoe. With the backhoe, it'll do many times over the work that I could do. Same thing with the anointing. But the anointing gives you God's ability. But when God tells you to do something, there's an anointing with it. When you start speaking those words in faith, even if you don't have the faith, God will give you the faith with it. He'll give you the faith to pull it off. And guess what? If you're faithful, it's going to happen some more for you. Because let me say this. When God gives you a sanction, something to do, if you're faithful, he'll trust you with something greater. But watch this. Always be faithful, because you don't want to get to that point and fail. You want to keep that momentum. That way the Lord can take advantage of the authority that you has, that he has to work through. He has to work through. It's a protocol. He has to work through a man to get what he wants done. And today I said, Lord, I like when you wake me up and have me praying. I want that to happen more. Now, when God do something sovereignly, I don't like to just, I want him to know I'm available. But this is what he put on my heart. Instead of me doing it, he said, share it with my people. While I was praying that it came to me to share it with this audience. Y'all are faithful people. If you go on here and listen to these words, you're hungry for the word. And you want to know the Lord. You can't see anything. It's no music. It's just a man talking under the anointing. And you know, you appreciate that. And you're hungry. You want to make a difference. You're already motivated. So when God wake you up, be faithful. When he give you something to do, be faithful. If it's just somebody, that you're just going to be a blessing to, be faithful. God will, he'll give you more of that. He'll help you minister to people that want to know him. Now, I spend a lot of times talking to people. Some people, they casually want to know him, or you'll be surprised. A lot of people don't, they're not interested. They're not as interested in the things of God. I'm meeting more and more people personally that are. I've got old friends I talk to, and we talk about the Lord like we never did before. And I love it when that happens, when people are hungry. I'm used to people, you know, you talk about the Lord, then the conversation quickly comes to an end. Hours don't go by. A few minutes go by, and they got something to do. That's what I'm used to. But now, people are hungry. I got friends that's hungry. I got family members that's hungry. And I plan to call for a few minutes and we talk for hours. You know, I like that. And I'm a busy man, but I like that. I'm glad people are hungry. The world needs hungry people because we have great abilities. If we keep our focus on Jesus. Yesterday's broadcast, it was called Living Capabilities. And the Lord had me teaching out of Romans 8, life in the spirit versus life in the flesh. So see, life in the spirit, you have God's capabilities. I'm just sharing things that See, a lot of times the devil didn't want people to know how to live in the spirit. So when God didn't make the chapters, it was just a long letter. That's how it originally was. And you read it as a letter. In fact, all the books you read as a letter. But some genius decided to mark it up with chapters, which can be useful, but most of the time, or too many times, they put the chapters in the wrong place. You know, just like 1 Peter. That's 1 Peter should be one chapter, one long chapter. And when you read it that way, you get more out of it. Because everything follows chapter 1. But see, chapter 3 starts off, likewise, you wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, what a way to start a chapter. You know what's going to happen? The devil's going to tell the women, you know, a man wrote this just so they can take advantage of y'all. But see, if you read chapter 3 without chapter 1, and people reference the chapters. If you read chapter 3 without the foundation of chapter 1, you miss the point totally. Because it's following the love of Jesus towards God for us. He loved us. He laid his life down at the will of the Father. And if we love others and lay our life down, don't try to retaliate. Treat people with the love of God. Even your boss, the ones that's good, the ones that's bad, love the people of God, and you win souls. Then he brought it over into marriage. Likewise, you wife. The same thing. Honor your husband, just like you honor your boss. Everybody get that. Then he tell the husband to love his wife. Then he tell the children to honor their parents. If without chapter 1, people miss the point. Same thing with Romans 7 and 8. He built up to chapter 7. Then he talked about life in the spirit. At getting started. You want to love and honor God. But your mind is contrary. And your flesh is contrary. And some people will say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I must have backslid. No. You walked into a war. The temptations come from the evil one. You didn't seek it out. It sought you out. And you're trying to do good and you're tempted in ways you never thought about. You walked into a storm. Because Paul walked into it. See, Paul, he wasn't trained by Jesus like the others were. He was not there on the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think he was anyway. Didn't say he was or wasn't, but I don't believe he was there. He came later on. He was trained by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did a good job training him. But out in life, he ran into storms. While they watched Jesus, and they didn't have that same. They were able to do it in a greater way. Because they had been with Jesus. See, when you spend time with him, if you spend time with the Holy Spirit versus people of God, you're gonna find yourself with much greater abilities than you could ever imagine. When you spend time with the Father, then the things of the world, you'll have the knowledge to supersede it. The other apostles, they had struggles too. Except they were with Jesus for a long time, for 3.5 years. But then, see, they could see Jesus. But see, you can only hear the Holy Spirit unless he give you a vision. He can give you visions. But see, they saw how Jesus handled himself, and they took it upon themselves. They received it as their own. Well, Paul couldn't do that because he wasn't there. He was with the Holy Spirit. See, people can't tempt the Holy Spirit. They can tempt Jesus because Jesus was a man. But Jesus superseded. That's what I'm trying to say. They saw a man supersede all of the influences of the world in every case. Paul didn't see that. He spent time with the Holy Spirit. And he was like the guinea pig, so to speak. He was out in life with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Then he gets bombarded. And he never saw anybody else do it. So it was a problem. He didn't see Jesus. He didn't see Jesus walking on water. He didn't see Peter see Jesus walking on water and get out of the boat and walk on water and almost sink and then come back and walk on water and then step into the boat off the water. He didn't see all that. When you see things, when you see others do it, you have a visual. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you, you're going to pioneer something. You didn't see a man do it just like you. You're the guinea pig. You're the pioneer. So Paul wrote chapter 7. He found himself in a pickle. But then he taught how to come out of it, chapter 8, which we put on yesterday's broadcast. Life in the Spirit. When you receive something from the Holy Spirit, you have to decide to receive it and with the intent to master the problem. The Word of God causes you to be the master and not the situation. And people are writing all kind of books about how they feel and how to deal with this and all the struggles and the brokenness. And I understand that. Paul did too. He dealt with brokenness in chapter 7, but he solved it in chapter 8, life in the Spirit. Otherwise, you'll never be born of God. Being born again is like being born. Being born again is like being born in the earth. Being born of God is like being born in the earth, but you grow up. You become a mature man. You take on the nature of Jesus through faith, and you take your salvation and you add to it. You work it out. You receive the word, fill your heart with his word, and drive out Satan's word as a way of life. And you master the situations around you. You master the darkness. You become the master. You're the hunter with the gun. You take back what Satan stole. And you don't let him have anything. You don't let him have your thoughts. You don't let him have your habit system. You put all your attention on the Lord. And you focus on things the Lord's way. When the enemy tempt men to lust after women, they're looking at women with Satan's logic. Okay, the life in the Spirit, you supersede that. Because you can't lust after somebody you love with the agape love of Jesus. If you love them like Jesus loved you, it's impossible to lust after them. If you love a man like Jesus loves you, it's impossible to covet his possessions. If you love society like Jesus loves you, it's impossible to do something to hurt it. And you become born of God. Life in the Spirit gives you that. It gives you everything you need. You are fully supplied by Jesus. Not only for that moment, but for every moment. If something comes along that you've never had experience with, you have the ability to receive the strength you need to make things right and supersede the darkness that Satan's doing. That's why I love when the Lord wake me up and tell me to pray for something impossible, because I know the anointing is there for me to do it. And it's there for you too. Life in the Spirit. Just get used to it. And when people see you doing it, it's just like Peter and James and John and all the others watching Jesus master life. They didn't write a chapter 7. Like Paul wrote. But Paul didn't see, but he was trained by the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. Not Jesus in the flesh, I mean. He was trained by the Holy Spirit. So he was the guinea pig. He found himself conquering all the time. That's why, you know, it was written you're more than conquerors. He found out. You're going to find out too. There are things that Peter, James, and John had to, they had to learn when they were on the stage and Jesus was had ascended. They were guinea pigs in their own way too. They had to do things that they wasn't used to. So Peter, you know, he had to invite the Gentiles. So that had never been done before on that scale. Now it is. Roman soldiers of all people. Now, we got to receive the mind of Christ, and we can become born of God. If you just take a, you know, people say, well, I'm all right, I'm born again. Okay, you're born in the world. What did you do with your life? Who mastered your life? Was it the world? Was it your auntie? Who told you what to do and you did it? The bullies? But see, when you're born of God, you master your own life. And you're operating by the Holy Ghost. And when you walk into a situation that you're not, that you haven't mastered yet in the past, the Lord is there to help you master it now. I love it. And you're going to find out you can win. Then you can go back and ask questions and learn all about it, how it worked. How did that happen to me? No, how did I win? What happened here? How did you do that? And he teach me. Life in the spirit supersedes. See, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, Satan. Whatever he throw at us, we can always supersede it. Whatever he throw at us, we can always supersede it. Never forget that. Now I'm out of time, the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. We can always win. Life in the spirit. Be born of God.